One. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2022-23 preseason coverage. This is our Big Ten preview show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Griggs and David Dorman. Right below me here from Bracketeer.org, we've got Rocco Miller. To his sides, John Titel and John Stalica. And this, along with all of our preseason content, if you look for it, is in our season previews tab right up top there. Check it out. You can see,
you see it.
We've got interviews. We got podcasts. We got pre-conference previews. I don't know what else we got, but it's all up there. Interview with the selection committee chair, Chris Bradley. A few other things are up there.
Is Joe Lunardi in his car still up there?
Yeah, so that's up there too.
Right.
We have Joe Lunardi when he's driving his car. We have interview with Barry Hinson up there. Okay. Anyhow, this is our Big Ten preview show, though. So this is a conference that is currently at, what are we at, 14 teams this season? And I think we'll be at 35 teams in a couple more seasons, the way it keeps expanding. But for now, we are at the still at the 14-team level here. And we'll look at the Big Ten this season. I think there's one team that, in my opinion at least, stands out to me as the team to beat here. I hate to say it, but Titel, let me start with you on this. Is it the Indiana Hoosiers, the team to be in this conference this season?
I think so. I mean, they have the best player in the conference in Trace Jackson Davis, arguably a contender for National Player of the Year, although I don't think he's going to win it. The numbers speak for themselves. 18 points, 8 boards, 2 blocks a game last year. He does it on both ends of the court. He declared for the draft, but he returned to school after getting COVID right before the combine. So if there's any team in the nation that actually benefited from COVID, it's the Hoosiers. Big Ten all defensive team, set an Assembly Hall record with 43 points in a win over Marshall last November. The history of the building, he's the best scorer in the history of Assembly Hall.
Ah, well, Dorman, what do you think? What do you think about the Hoosiers? Do you agree with? Do you think they are also think they're the team to beat here, especially with Jackson Davis, who is amazing.
He is amazing, and I love him. I think he's the best player in the conference. I question the role players on the team.
Yeah.
I guess I understand everyone picking him because he is by far the best player, TJD, in the conference. But I don't know. I think a team or two is going to sneak up on him and come out of nowhere and maybe give Indiana a run for their money. And if I had to guess today, I'm going to say no, Indiana does not win the conference. I will hold my pick for later, though.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a team that has a lot of pieces. They were an NCAA tournament team last year, but they were a first four team. They didn't go past the first round. Yeah, barely got in. And while I realized, and I love experience, I love the fact that four starters are back and they have one of the best, if not the best players in the conference, but are we ready to anoint them, like going from all the way to the first four to a protected seed or better top 50? It just seems like I didn't see anything or much last year that made me think, oh, this is a team that's going to set the world on fire. I definitely think that they're inside the bubble, and who knows, maybe when you see them play early on and show a little bit more, I'll change my mind, but I'm just not all the way in on them yet.
Well, if we're not going to Indiana, Rocco, let me bring you in here on a team that their head coach has been there for 3 seasons, the Michigan Wolverines. He's 61-32 overall, yet 3 straight Sweet 16s. Juwan Howard and this Michigan team, are they any good, or are they going to be mediocre in the regular season, lose a bunch of games, and then make a great tournament run, again?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting observation, because it is, there are a lot of programs out there that don't really worry about winning and losing as much in the early part of the year. If you're in a league like this, you it is all about how you finish, and Michigan's been able to do that the last couple of years. Hunter Dickinson's still there. He's a matchup problem for nearly every other opponent. They have a great freshman class coming in where you have to expect maybe one or two of those freshmen to break out. A lot of talent there. I love the addition of Jalen Llewellyn from Princeton. He was phenomenal. I believe the Ivy League Player of the Year last year. Not a lot of guys can transfer up to a league like this and stay at that level of production, but because of the fact he's a point guard and it's the same responsibilities, he's got so many weapons around him. I think it will actually translate for Jalen. It's interesting because they're not like a bona fide for sure. I think they got a chance to win the Big Ten, but it's really hard to just say, yeah, that's for sure the team. But with Dickinson and the supporting cast and Juwan's early track record, you can feel pretty comfortable, I think, that they'll get at least get to the tournament.
Dorman, I saw you nodding your head. Were they the team that you were thinking about for the win for the conference or no?
I'll still hold out, but being from the Midwest my whole life, I've been a Big Ten guy forever. This conference is down this year. They don't have the star power they've had in the past. They're losing big time talent. Johnny Davis, Ivy, one of the Murray twins. I hate to say it, but I don't think the Big Ten is what they usually are, and they're going to struggle this year.
I agree with you. I think they're going to struggle at the top, but I still think they're going to have a volume of teams at the end of the day. I think they're going to have tons of 6 to 10 seeds at the end of the day. That's kind of – but we'll see. But, Stalika, I wanted to bring you in here also. When I look at the AP preseason poll, which again is meaningless, there were three teams from the Big Ten in there: Indiana at 13, Michigan at 22, and Illinois at 23. Are the Illini the team that to look at here this season?
If we're looking at Illinois as the possible team, I mean, initially I would have thought, where are they going to go now that Coburn's no longer there, Carabello or whoever the guy for St. John's is? But fortunately, the Illini do have some transfers coming out of the Big 12. The notable one's going to be Terrence Shannon Jr., who I think came from Texas Tech, could potentially be one of the top guards in the year. You've also got a couple former Baylor Bears and Dane Danya and Matthew Mayer, who are also going to be part of the core for the Illini this year. But honestly, once you get beyond teams, experienced teams like Indiana, Wisconsin, Purdue, I mean, it's anybody's guesses who's going to be beyond that. Illinois, maybe.
Tytel, I'm kind of shocked that Illinois was actually in the top 25 myself, with their top five players are gone.
More than just the top five.
They do bring in like a former national champion and Matthew Mayer, who started 33 games last year. It's not like, as Stalika said, these are not average transfers. These are top notch. I'm actually going to get the pleasure of seeing them in person in Vegas next month when I go to the Continental Tire main event. So I will report back in a few weeks.
Well, Rocco, let me go back to you here now. Indiana, Michigan, Illinois. Who was the top 25 missing? Who's the best team that did not make the top 25? Because there's a couple teams I like better, especially better than the Illini this season in this conference.
Yeah, I think there's a couple still missing that we haven't talked about. I guess I'll start with Purdue. I think, you know, Purdue might be looked at as a team that takes a drop off with what they lost. But I don't think I'm as concerned, just from the fact that we're now going to get to see Zach Edey instead of just 19, 20 minutes a game. We'll probably get to see him almost 30 minutes a game if he stays out of foul trouble. That is obviously a matchup nightmare for just about everybody out there. And don't forget, Gillis was a really great player for them a couple of years ago. He's recovered from the injury, supposed to be ready to rock. I think that's a nice 1-2 punch. I think the only thing that really concerns me about Purdue, because Painter's got an unbelievable track record, you know, no matter what kind of where they're picked for preseason, is they took on David Jenkins Jr., you know, a guy we know pretty well out here in the West. You know, a lot of locker room problems surrounding him at Utah last year. We'll see if Painter can get him his head on straight. He was an unbelievable, prolific scorer at the South Dakota State level, but never really panned out at either UNLV or Utah the way they wanted him to. Now Purdue's going to take him on. So, you know, but even if he kind of flails away, they've got depth, good freshman class there as well. And again, I'm willing to bet on a coach like Matt Painter.
Yeah, my question with them is the backcourt, though, and it's college is such a guard oriented game too that it's I mean, but I love the front court here. I absolutely love the Purdue front court. I think they are there with that. Stalika, how about one of your favorite teams, the Ohio State University?
I believe it's an Ohio State University, if you're following our little chat box right here.
Are we talking about Miami of Ohio then, or Toledo?
No,
and Ohio University?
We'll get some other Miami next week. Okay. But as far as the Buckeyes go this year, this is going to be one of many teams that's going to be reloading right here. I mean, if we're talking about top returners, you're looking at Zed Key, who I think was their only returning starter from last year. But as far as hitting the transfer portal goes, they got – Tanner Holden, who's going to be coming down I-70 from Wright State. You've also got Sean McNeil coming out of West Virginia.
24-year-old Sean McNeil, by the way.
He
could be 2 or 3 years into the pros at that age.
Yeah, give him 5 more years and he'll be eligible to run for the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. But also keep an eye on Isaac Lykel, who's going to be transferring in from Oklahoma State as well. So over the next couple of years, we're going to start wondering just how effective is the portal going to be as far as a recruiting tool for everybody.
Yeah, Griggs, this is another one of those teams that's so full of transfers, but there's quality there, so maybe they will be good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I said to somebody today on Twitter, like in 20 days, I can't see that far ahead, and in 20 days I'm going to have impressions and opinions that I don't right now after you see everybody play. But the hardest teams to kind of forecast, even if they do have good pieces that from the transfer portal, they haven't played together yet. And even if they come together later, they might struggle a little bit earlier, which is one of the reasons why I'm a little shocked that somebody like with you, with Illinois, that has so many new pieces, how they would start off ranked where they are. There's another team, I know we're going to get to them, that I'm a little surprised that isn't getting a little bit more recognition.
Why don't we go right there? Tell us who you're thinking about.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. And again, Wisconsin has a long history of not exceeding expectations. They're always expected to do well, and then they just fall flat. Oh, I'm wrong. They always seem to. At what point we kind of realize that they're a blue blood? They won 25 games a year ago. 3 starters are back. If we're going to talk about Indiana's experience, why not credit Wisconsin? I know that they lost some key pieces, but they have enough coming back, and I think they have enough coming in to where at least there's a mix of guys that have played together in a culture. And I just think that at what point are we going to finally start talking about Wisconsin at the beginning of the year like they're a really good team? By the way, this was the first place team a year ago.
Tytel, I get what Griggs just said, but how do you replace Johnny Davis?
Well, sadly, the way he's playing in D.C. down the street from me, you can replace him pretty easily because he's not even But Tyler Wall will be great. Tyler Wall's big, and he led the team in field goal shooting and steals. He does a little of everything. But, yes, the cupboard is bare, and the schedule is ridiculous. They play Stanford, Dayton, Wake, Marquette in non-conference play. Like, not easy at all in the first several weeks of the season.
Yeah, Dorman, have we finally hit your Big Ten champion, or do we're still not quite there yet?
We're not there yet, Chad. We have not gotten there.
Tell me who your champ is, then. Let's find out here. Ready? Hold on. And the answer is,
I think Iowa actually turns it on this year. I think Chris Murray, one of the Murray twins, really. Turns it on this year. I think he's got really great talent. I know he came off the bench last year. He was as good as some of those starters. Coach McCaffrey has 2 sons on the team. One of them, Patrick, played some big-time minutes, big-time shots last year. I think Fran McCaffrey really gets his team going in the right way, and they're going to win a lot of Big Ten games this year. The one piece they're going to have trouble replacing is at the point guard. I think Jared Bohannon was there for about 9 years. He was huge, and he did some great things there, and he is finally gone. If they can replace him and do a decent to steady job in the point guard spot, I think Iowa's got a chance here.
Now that you mentioned that, I like that pick. This was a team that was playing really well at the end of the year until the NCAA tournament started, which is what Iowa does. But yeah, I could see this team doing really well, getting a protected seat, and then losing in the round of 64.
Well, first of all, how they play at the end of last season is meaningless. It's a different team. But Rocco, do you agree with him about this team without Bohannon, without Keegan Murray, that this team could be that good?
They could be, yeah. I thought I was higher on Iowa than most. I don't know if I can pick them to win it, but I wouldn't be shocked, I guess you could say, because, you know, Iowa last year, I don't think they had very much expectations, at least from us and most of the pundits out there. But what we saw was, you know, Keegan Murray become an All-American right in front of our eyes. I don't think it's fair to say Chris is going to do the exact same thing Keegan did, but you still have five very solid guys back from that team plus Chris. And obviously Chris is going to have the opportunity to be the leading scorer on the team. And they layered in some freshmen that have talent as well. I think they're going to be able to go pretty deep, especially the first few months of the year. And they're going to stay fresh, and they're going to be really, really hard to beat at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. So with all that said, I think by the end of the year, you're looking at like a 25, 26 win team.
All right. I'm there with you. I can see it happening. Tytel, if we're talking about all these teams having so many new pieces to bring in, I think part of it says you've got to look at the coach. And if that's the case, shouldn't we be talking Michigan State?
I mean, if you like Tom Izzo and Hall of Famers, then yes, you should. Very tough schedule to open. Arguably, nobody tougher. I mean, NAU at home is winnable. Playing Gonzaga in San Diego and Kentucky in Indianapolis, not so easy. Not to mention, they ease into it after that with Villanova and Alabama and Notre Dame. I mean, it's like a brutal schedule. They do have a reliable point guard who I just interviewed in Tyson Walker, the senior leader who transferred over from Northeastern. But I think coaching can only take you so far. I mean, if they beat Gonzaga and Kentucky back-to-back, sure, put them number one, but it's not going to happen.
Stalika, where do you think the Spartans end up this year then?
Spartans, I would probably say you could end up as high as a third here, just based on the Izzo factor alone. I think experience is going to have to count for something, so I'm not going to put them above teams like Indiana or Purdue at the start of the year at least.
Yeah, and if this team gets a 7 seed, they're going to the Final Four.
Exactly.
It didn't happen last year, though.
Yeah.
Dorman, my Rutgers Scarlet Knights are starting life after Geo Baker and life after Ron Harper Jr., but we've got Omaruri back, we got McConnell back, we got Mulcahy back. Can the Scarlet Knights make it another tournament appearance this year?
I actually think so. Like I said before, I don't love the conference, but I think they have three or four key cogs that played decent supporting roles last year. If those guys can step up and score and defend, obviously, they got a chance. I think the ceiling here is fourth, fifth in the conference. I think that would be an incredible season for Rutgers.
Yeah, Rocco, are you with my Scarlet? Are you on my Scarlet Knights bandwagon for another season again also?
Close. I mean, okay. I think they're probably my next eight teams outside the field, the first eight or whatever you want to call that. But I think, you know, I would not be shocked if they land almost in the exact same place. Bubble-icious all the way through February. Need a key road win because they don't have enough road wins in March, and maybe they pull it off again. I mean, you know, obviously the rack is just unbelievable. That probably gets Rutgers three or four marquee wins alone. And then we'll see where we land, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you my problem with this is with both Baker and Harper gone, where's the go-to scorer? Where's that go-to scorer? And can a guy like Mulcahy become that? I hope he can, but I don't know. I mean, Murray is great down low. McConnell is an incredible defender. But hopefully somebody can emerge.
Even if it's not just scoring, it's like the energy guys. Those guys were the heart and soul. They get the crowd going. They get the defense going. You know, you got to have that character to go along with the points.
All right. Griggs, I want to ask you if you want to join me on board the bandwagon for a team with six key seniors on the roster. Is this the year that Penn State makes a little bit of noise?
Maybe a little bit.
You want to join the Nittany Lion bandwagon here.
How much noise are we talking about, Chad?
Being bubble talk all season?
I don't know, NIT bubble or NCAA bubble.
Okay, so you're not with me. Just say no.
I think they're going to be better, but I'm not ready. The one thing that they have that I like is the return of like four starters. I think experience is important, especially in a league like this. I just don't know if they're going to go all the way onto and inside of the bubble, but I do think they're going to be better than what they've been in, you know, the last two or three years. It's been a minute since they were at that level. I just don't see them getting all the way back to it yet.
Right. Nobody wants to join me on the, you know, I think Micah Shrewsbury was a good pick. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I like Shrewsbury. I like the recruiting model since he got there. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't Evan Daniels. It was the other guy, Snow. They hired from 24/7 Sports to run recruiting. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting unbelievable recruiting classes. We'll see if any of those guys are part of the factor this year. But also you got to mention Cam Winter comes over from the Colonial, where he was an excellent ball player, scorer. And again, kind of like the other comparison I made earlier about transferring up with Jalen Llewellyn at Michigan, I do think guards have an easier time transferring up versus forwards and bigs in general. So I could see that translating. We know Jalen Pickett's a great player. So we'll see. But yeah, I think Penn State and Rutgers are pretty almost even, honestly.
Okay.
I love Jalen Pickett.
No, I agree with that. They're almost even.
I love Jalen Pickett as far as our Under the Radar podcast in the past. But if we're talking a Big Ten level, there I'm not so certain.
Well, what do you like about him, Chad? I know Rocco just.
I love teams, especially in a conference when you've got so much turnover and so many teams that are trying to gel a team with the core back, and that's what I like about them.
Yeah.
No,
I do think they're going to be better. Am I all the way on the bandwagon? I'm standing next to it. How about that?
Dorman, we have a new coach in Maryland, Kevin Willard, coming over. How about the Terps? Maybe a year or two away, or maybe you want to say something about this season.
I think they exceed expectations, actually. Okay. I think a coach like Kevin Willard can give a shot of energy to the entire program, get the excitement back in College Park, and I think they can exceed expectations. I think if they're fifth, sixth in the Big Ten and hang around the middle of the pack, he's done a good job, and I think he's got some talent to do that.
Well, if you're fifth or sixth, you're going to the NCAA tournament from this conference, aren't you?
I think he has a chance to possibly be on the bubble and go to the tournament.
Tytel, do you agree with him?
I do not. When your leading returning guy in minutes is Dante Scott, who was perfectly solid last year, but his shooting stats went down. I liked Kevin Willard's previous job with the Hall. I just don't think it's going to transfer immediately in a year, considering – arguably his best player last year, Kudus Wahab, is now playing down the street from me with the Hoyas.
Mm-hmm. Salika, Minnesota. Do you see anything there? They've got what I see is Jameson Battle and nothing, but you see something there that I'm missing.
what I saw was one flash in the pan last year when they got a win at Michigan. I didn't see much of anything else beyond that. I mean, granted, they do have a second-year head coach in Ben Johnson. Got to give him a little bit more time, but haven't we said that for about half the conference?
Rocco, we're down near the bottom here, including Chris Collins' Northwestern team. Ooh. That good news, Boo Booey is back, and the rest of the team went to play on Tobacco Road.
Yeah, Chase Adija is back as well. He's been, he's been pretty steady. I think it's – you're right, losing Pete Nance.
Pete Nance to Carolina, Ryan Young to Duke, yep.
Yeah, that's brutal. Verhoeven was decent at UTEP, but is the Big Ten. I think this is it for Chris Collins, honestly. I think this is – I think he's done at the end of the year. Wow. I think this job opens, sadly. It's been – he did the one – thing that they desperately wanted, got to one tournament, but
won a game.
I think it's run its course, unfortunately, for Chris.
Yeah. Is this program they've as you said, they've been the one tournament, they've won one game in their entire history. I realize that academics are an issue and that there's potential challenges that maybe are more present there than other schools, but part of me thinks, how can they be where they are and never be any good? Dorman, any thoughts on that? Since you come from here where they are.
I do. I'm a big Chris Collins fan. He was going to bring the Duke model with the high excellence in education and be able to get the recruits from the Chicagoland area and especially the inner city, and it really hasn't worked out. He just kept telling everyone he was going to get those inroads in the city. And he has yet to really get – I'm not looking for the big All-American candidates from the city, but that second and third tier, he never really plucked anyone and got the program going in the right direction and got, Chicago turned on to the program where everyone bought in and got the place rocking. Unfortunately, I'm with Rocco. This team is dead in the water this year, in really bad shape. I hope it's not the end for Collins, but it's not going well, and I don't see it getting better soon.
Yeah. Griggs, I got to go back to you for the last team. I know they used to be one of your favorites.
Yes.
How cursed is the Nebraska Cornhuskers program? I think it's the only question we have to ask.
Well, extremely. And again, another Chicago curse. They didn't win the World Series for, what was it, 100 years because somebody wasn't allowed to bring a billy goat in. Who thinks they can bring a billy goat into a ballpark? Well, Nebraska fired Tim Miles, and they are going to be cursed for 1,000 years for that.
Tytel, is there anything to look at for this Nebraska team this season at all, or should we just move on to the end of the program?
We should move on, but there is reason to hope. Sam Griesel, the transfer from North Dakota State, he grew up in Lincoln. This is his dream school. He's a 6'6 point guard, and he scored 20 or more in 6 of his last 8 games last year. They're still going to be in the cellar, but he's a little ray of hope.
I do have an issue, though, with somebody whose dream school is Nebraska in basketball.
Grew up in Lincoln. What do you expect?
You can go to Nebraska, Omaha. Come on. I
mean, there's Creighton. Creighton's pretty good.
Creighton. Yeah. There you go. Creighton. Yep. Anyhow, what I want to do now, though, is move on to ask each of you 3 questions. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Number two, how many bids is the league going to get at the end of the day? And number three, do you have any other final thoughts at all on the conference? Stalika, let me start with you on that.
I'm probably going to go ahead and say Indiana would be my pick right here. I could also see this being a down year for the Big Ten. I'm probably looking at 5 to 6 bids overall. I'll probably lean towards 5 if I had to go for an answer. But as far as my final thought, there's going to be 4 games that are going to define Indiana during the non-conference. I will be there for one of them. They go to Xavier as part of the Gabbett games.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Yep, they also have a home game against North Carolina that's part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They also play Arizona out in Las Vegas, and I'm blanking on one other game, but that's also going to be right before January Big Ten play.
All right. We'll try to figure out what that game was. Dorman, let me go over to you, though.
I'm sticking with Iowa. I think Iowa is a surprise, gets the Big Ten title here. My number of tournament teams and my final point kind of mixed together. This conference is down. I don't see them doing real well in the out-of-conference. And then once they get to conference, they're going to all start to beat each other up. I'm going real low. I'm going 4 teams in the tournament.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. First, just quick note here. The missing game for Indiana is at Kansas in Lawrence.
Another easy one.
Yeah, another easy one. No problem. Rocco, let me run over to you.
Yeah, so reluctantly, I have to pick somebody to win the league. It was hard, but I'll trust Matt Painter to get it done with that front court. I'll go Purdue. I think the system is gamed really, really well for the Big Ten. You know, I with my heart of hearts, I wish Dorman and Stalika were right. I just can't see them getting less than 7 teams in. I think they'll actually get 8 just because you look at the majority of their schedules. They only play 11 non-league games, first of all. Second of all, 7 of those for almost every team are at home. So that leaves 1 maybe Big Ten ACC Challenge road game if you're on the road. Plus you got most of these teams are in 3 game events that will have good competition. But as long as the league finishes with the way the net is set up and the non-conference schedule metrics are set up, if they win 75% of their non-league games, which they will, they're going to be in good shape to collect a bunch of bids between the 4 line and the bubble lines. And I think that's just what's going to play out because we've seen this for the last 3-4 years now.
Yeah, you know, I first of all, I'm going to agree back with Sliga. I got Indiana winning this league personally. But I'm going to agree with Rocco, and I thought maybe I was crazy here because I look at this as an 8-bid league also, and I'm looking at it because you've got to put 68 teams in this tournament, and I'm not certain that there's any – that this is a good conference to fill out those 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 seed lines here. And I'm not certain that Illinois, who's in the top 25 preseason, is even going to be one of those 8, so I'll throw that out there as well. I'm not high on them, but yeah. I could be wrong. But Tytel, let me head over to you.
You have this huge spectrum here. Dorman's pushing 4 teams. You're pushing 8 teams. So I'll go right in the middle with 6. And I'll take the over because I think Indiana wins it all, although it is wide open. I think Iowa, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State are strongly in. And then I think Ohio State or Illinois, or I'm hoping both make it. Sorry, Penn State, and sorry, Rutgers, and sorry, Whiskey. As far as a final thought, Halloween is upon us. And so I can't think of a more appropriate Halloween player than this guy right here. Boo-booey, everybody. Happy Halloween, boo-booey.
Happy Halloween, boo-booey. All right. Griggs, let me over to you.
I'm going to side more with Dorman and thinking it's going to be four or five as far as the number of teams. I understand what Rocco's saying, but like I think that even when you look at the teams the Big Ten has gotten in the past, there was at least some semblance of notable out-of-conference wins. Indiana, who a lot of people are picking to win the league, including some of us, those four games that Stalica mentioned, I don't think they win any of them. They might be one of the better teams in the league, and they might, I think they're solidly inside the bubble, but I think they're closer to maybe 33rd than 13th right now. Now, again, they're talented. I could be wrong, but I'm just not all in on them. And we've seen teams left out, and the stated reason was lack of out-of-conference wins. We've seen Big Ten teams specifically left out for that reason. And we've seen conferences, even power ones, get fewer teams when, while they might win a lot of home bye games, if that's all that they've really done, the committee has made it clear, I think, that they want to see more than that. So I don't think it's a one-bid league by any means, but I think it's closer to maybe, I'm going to go with five that get in.
There
and I'm going to go with Whiskey to win it.
Griggs just called it a single bid league.
Single bid league.
All right. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for the Big Ten preview here. If you go up top there, you can check out all the other previews of the power conferences. We're going to be recording. We're recording, by the way, on the evening of October 26th. We'll be recording the Pac-12 in a little while tonight as well. But for now, on behalf of David Dorman, John Sleek up top, John Titel below me, Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org, and David Griggs to his sides, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.